Hello and welcome to the Business Brain Podcast.
Brought to you by the Business Brain Program. We're the only podcast in the world to give you genuine business superpowers. We're your hosts. I'm Ollie Thompson.
I'm Honor Ibrahim. Enjoy the show.
Good morning, sir. How are you, Ollie?
I'm good. I've got my morning coffee, as always, my black morning coffee after my warm lemon water.
I like it. When you say morning coffee, I always remember those biscuits that we used to have as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about those. Yeah.
I love morning coffee.
Yeah, I have this sort of ritual every morning where I get up at the same time, obviously whenever I can, but mostly 90% of the time I get up at the same time, and then I do a little bit of exercise, then I have a warm water with lemon, an ice cold shower, and then I have two black coffees. It's a little ritual, little regime. Yeah.
Rituals make you rich.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You have to. It's important. It's important to have. I've kind of lost my flow a little bit in my ritual. I used to, similar, I'd get up, I'd do 20 minutes of exercise. Mm. I wouldn't have lemon water and a freezing shower, but I would have a black coffee.
Yeah.
And then breakfast and moving on. And I found that doing that every day and every night, I would make a list as well of all the things I want to achieve the next day.
Yeah.
And I found that making a list of those things I want to do and having that morning time just gets me up and gets me really productive.
Yeah, yeah. There's a guy called Andrew Huberman who does brilliant podcasts. So I just I follow his advice basically, and I tell you what, it's amazing. You know, it does make a difference. I do, especially the cold shower does make you. It's very uncomfortable to start off with for like the first week, but then you just become almost, you pre-program yourself just to do it. And it's just a thing that you can't avoid because it makes you feel so good. It's incredible.
Yeah. And you know, I could never get over that first week, dude.
Yeah, it's just...
That's the bit I struggled with.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's like fasting. I mean, I'm not going to eat till 12 today. Yeah. And it's just that learning that discipline to overcome the need for gratification of nice things all the time that are beneficial for you in the long term rather than short term.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, that ties in really nicely to our topic today, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So we're going to talk about comfort holding you back from happiness.
Yeah.
Imagine that, comfort holding you back. Most people would think the opposite. They think, well, to be happy, I've got to be comfortable.
But yeah.
But research has proven, right, that most cases, we know that doing things that make you uncomfortable results in much more happiness.
Honestly, the world is just full of paradox, isn't it?
It is.
we are.
Paradox.
Yeah, yeah. We are just hardwired to think one way when actually the opposite, generally speaking, can be much more effective and efficient or better for us in so many aspects of our life.
And I might actually agree, completely agree, because if you never try anything new, nothing will ever change.
No.
And people are addicted to being grumpy. They're just addicted to being unhappy because they want to stay in that comfortable place. And they're scared to do things that are going to take them out of that comfortable place.
Yeah.
Into a happier place.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know why that is, though?
No, why?
Well, I don't know either, but we can have a conversation about it. But if you think about modern lifestyle, everything is thrown at you to enable you to feel safe, secure, and immediate.
Mm.
But paradoxically, also what's thrown at us is the need to be perfect, to have the perfect relationship, the perfect job, loads of money, to look amazing. And if you don't, then you feel like there's something wrong.
Mm.
So that's interesting, isn't it? Because you get everything you need to be doing is immediate, right? So you can get Netflix, you get the film very quickly, you can order that pizza, you can get the glass of wine, you can sit on the sofa all day, every day.
Yes.
Which then is the complete opposite of what you need to do to have the perfect body, have the perfect job, and have the perfect relationship.
Well, I'll give you an example of that. It was so funny. Last night, we were trying to watch Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, and, right, yeah.
And my kids have lost the ability to understand the concept of live TV.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, because everything's on demand, right?
Yes, that's right.
You can fast forward, you can skip it. There's no ads, you know, you just watch what you want.
Yeah.
So we're watching the live semi-finals, Britain's Got Talent. And, you know, we went away from the telly for a minute. And they said, oh, you can just pause it.
Mm.
But you can't, right? It's live TV.
Mm.
So yeah. If you change the channel, you can go back to it, but you're going to go back to where it is now, not where it was before.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, relating that to kind of business, we're almost doing business on demand. People show up for work and they go through the motions. Oh, I've got to do this report. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. But they don't actually question, why are we doing this? And what's the benefit?
oh, Pandora's box. Here we come. Right?
There we go.
Yeah. Well, just... I'll give you a metaphorical example that's real life of how I see things. Is I go and visit my elderly mother, right? And as you get older, as we know, your cognitive ability it drops, doesn't it? Right. So she struggles sometimes with her age and how she thinks and memory and all that sort of stuff. And she enjoys watching television, as most people do. But here's an example where your young kids understand that TV is now different. So you can pick what you want, you can pause it, you can fast forward it, all that sort of stuff. She's still living in a world where she wants the Radio Times. And she'll sit there and she'll go, right, what's on next on BBC One? You know? And I'll say, but what do you want to watch? Because she's got about 1,000 channels that she could just click on and she could download episodes of The Crown or anything she wants and watch it whenever she wants. But she just wants to stay in that old paradigm of, you know, 4 channels or 3 channels, and then it's what's next, and she's quite happy with that. So it's not
5 channels, by the way. So
yeah, but when for her, it was always, you know, BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV.
Then now
Channel 4 in the '80s,
yeah, and Channel 5, yeah.
And then forget Channel 5. I mean, she doesn't even mention it; doesn't watch it.
Yeah.
But it's just because she's just. That's, you know, she's traditional in how she thinks about things. And just relating that to, and that's not a bad thing, it's just the way she is. But then if you relate that to businesses, it's incredible to me how we have cultures and strategies in businesses that are industrial revolutionized still. And what they try and do is leverage in technology in a really clumsy way. And so what you've got is this complete mismatch between, you know, hierarchical, old-fashioned leadership models and technology. So I'll give you a great example is email.
Yeah.
Right? So I work in organizations where people are burning out. They're knackered. They're exhausted. They're unfulfilled. They don't have a purpose. They are just machines of responding to emails by sending an email. And they think that's how work is. Right. So they're constantly battling. And one of the reasons why they have all these emails is because they've got these projects on, and then the hierarchical manager or leader or director will send them another thing that they've got to do. And of course, there's 2 things that happen. They are incapable of saying no because it's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
Right. And they don't know how to, because they've not been trained how to do that because they've had no leadership training. And the other thing is they're addicted to believing that just action equals success. And being relevant means that you've got to respond to that because you'll look good if you do something that the director feels is great. But then, of course, you're just part of the problem because if you do that.
Can we talk a bit about chimney culture?
Yeah, go for it.
You know, silos.
Yeah.
And they people are afraid. So this leads really nicely onto the next point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Discomfort.
Yeah.
And personal growth. You can't grow unless you experience some discomfort. And most organizations, they adopt this silo structure that we were discussing yesterday, weren't we?
Yeah,
the silo structure they adopt.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only ascend within your silo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a chimney. There's only one chimney. You're in that chimney.
Yeah.
And the only way is up. You can't go across to another chimney. Well, that's how people perceive their world. And that's back to things like if you work in marketing, you can't ever work in sales because you're a marketing person, even though you've got a lot to offer the sales department.
Yeah.
And you have to impress your boss in marketing so that as your boss moves up, you move up.
Yeah.
You know, and you ascend the chimney. But what that's doing is it's forcing people to stay comfortable.
Yeah.
Never try different things. And discomfort in personal growth is actually what is a catalyst for happiness.
Totally.
Because you have to grow by pushing yourself. You know, you're not going to get the perfect body. You're not going to get fit. You're not going to lose weight by doing the same things, unless the same things are following a nutritional plan, exercising well,
yeah,
you know, and pushing yourself to a limit.
Yeah.
But unless you feel that discomfort, you're never going to experience that growth. And this is what's happening in organizations. People
Correct.
Are trying to, staying in the silo is a result of wanting to be comfortable, wanting
yes.
a routine,
yeah,
but a negative routine, not a positive routine.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to, I think we have to just reverse. We're on a destructive course, I think, just generally. Just in leadership, whether it's politics or business or whatever you want to call it, even families, you know, we've got to reverse a destructive course that we're on, because it's literally the Titanic hurtling towards icebergs. There's
yeah.
lots of them. And it needs a paradigm shift. It really does. I mean, you know, we need to create cultures in businesses where it's built on three or four core elements. The first one, I think, is just a culture of trust. Right, we just don't trust each other. So why is that? Why don't people at work trust each other?
You know, I've got a very abstract answer to that.
You go for it. I'll give you my thoughts as well.
Yeah, because people generally have trust issues. Because it's a common fact within
yeah.
personal life, professional life.
Yeah.
People generally have trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason I believe that so is that we silo ourselves
yeah.
in our personal lives, in our business lives, in any kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about protection rather than support.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think siloing yourself is a way of putting a barrier up, putting a shield up, and creating protection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that comes from attachment to comfort. I'm comfortable mm-hmm. where I am.
Yeah.
And I don't want things to change.
Yeah.
And as long as I protect where I am, who I am, and what I'm doing, mm-hmm. things are not going to change, and I'm going to remain comfortable.
Yeah.
Even if I can see the iceberg is moving faster and faster towards the ship that I'm on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I believe it is. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I totally agree. And it look, if you're hurtling towards an iceberg, not even hurtling, if you're gradually moving towards an iceberg and you know it's there, you've got plenty of time to change direction. But every day that you avoid changing direction, the iceberg is getting closer and closer, right? It's like health, right? If you don't look after your health every day, the iceberg of some form of catastrophic illness, ailment, disease, whatever, is more likely, isn't it? Right? Mm. The iceberg, the metaphorical iceberg. So unless you invest every day in doing something meaningful with your health, if you avoid that, every day is a step closer towards disaster, the iceberg. But because those incremental steps towards disaster are so minimal, you don't notice them, right?
It's the slow erosion.
Yes, it's the water in the rock, isn't it, right?
Yeah. Oh, my credit card's going, oh, it's just another 1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And then before you know it, you look at it and it's 10 grand. And you're thinking, what happened? But you do it to yourself.
You do. It's when you look in the mirror and go, hang on, I don't look. I've put on a bit of weight. Well, yeah, that's because for the last week, you've been eating and drinking the wrong things and without exercising. And so that's what you get. And it's the same in businesses. Unless you start working out what this is, you know, the metaphor of working out what trust is and building cultures of two-way trust, you've got to work out what that looks like. You've got to have a mental fitness regime in an organization that encourages you to do the right things to build two-way trust, when all you want to do is the opposite, because it's easier, right? It's easier to work on your own. It's easier to make sure you have a task list. It's easier not to reach out to Barry or Billy or Joe or Jill or whatever, who are working different time zones or different, you know, cities, because what am I going to talk about? What's the point? And we always have to have a point of doing something, right, that gets that task out of the way. But actually speaking to Barry or Jill, who's in New York or in Glasgow, could actually be quite an interesting conversation and could actually help you, because they might have a bit of time where they could support your overwhelming workload. You never know, right? Or you may learn something about them that you might go, I never knew that about you. Could you help me with it? Yes. So you're empowering teams, which is part of two-way trust. And there's so many teams now that are just not empowered to share things, to collaborate and foster an environment where happiness and collaboration are valued as strategic imperatives.
How do we handle the fear element? What can we give our listeners? Because this is moving on to resilience, which is kind of an ongoing topic for us. But I think this part that you're talking about, the most important section of this is the fear. People are scared to trust.
Well, it's not. Fear is a direct correlation to control, isn't it?
Okay.
You can't control. People want to control everything. They do. They want to control the weather. They want to control politics. They want to control money. They want to control other people. They want to control everything. Time. And they can't. The only thing they know, actually, is that they can only control how they respond to situations. So the best form of control, if you're having to work with other people, is to control your workload, right, at work, and justify yourself. Because if you have to spend 50% of your time talking to other people that you don't know and can't rely on, you're giving away a lot of your power, your perceived power, to other forms of energy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, 100%.
That you can't control, and you can't trust them fully because you don't know them fully, right? But again, that is so self-defeating, because what we have to do is invest time up front in a team who are working on a project or whatever you want to call it. We have to start understanding what the frameworks look like, what the roadmap looks like for everyone to work together well, right? And how you can support each other, how you can collaborate, how you can communicate, how you work towards outcomes, and ultimately how you trust each other.
There you go. Right. And that's one of our workshops, isn't it?
It is. But that takes a lot of cognitive, empathetic ability. And of course, most businesses are short-termist, aren't they? They want quick hits this month, you know, sales targets, profit, you know, speaking to customers, X amount of KPIs. They're all addicted to short-termism. That's human nature. Whereas actually the most effective people and businesses do the incremental steps every day that get them towards a healthy lifestyle, a healthy business, a healthy relationship. The question is, what are we doing every day that's going to make us better for tomorrow? But that question is never asked. It's how are we going to get through this task list and this workload? Well, it's the wrong question, isn't it?
It's a different, it leads on. It definitely is Pandora's box. I mean, it opens up a whole world of other things that most people avoid.
Yeah.
Because the first step is the work, the right work.
Yeah.
And how do we get the right work done?
Yeah.
With the resources and the people we have.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, you know, you shouldn't go to work. You shouldn't. You should go to a place that you feel meaning and fulfilled and a sense of purpose. Because when you walk through those doors, you connect to the point of why you are here. Most people are unfulfilled, which is why they're so grumpy, which is where we started, you know. People are actually work depressed. They don't realize it, but they're in this cage of working institutions where they're just unfulfilled. It's the only way I can put it.
We're coming up to a 20-minute mark, and we like to keep these punchy. So if someone is work depressed, unfulfilled, what are the three things they can do today?
Yeah,
to start changing, because there's no silver bullet.
No,
unless you're a Mercedes and a Formula One fan.
Yeah,
there's no silver bullet. So how do you change the the mental state.
Yeah.
And go from work depressed to work joyful.
So the first thing I would do is I would honestly try and find a connection between the purpose in the work that you do and the purpose in your life.
Okay.
If you can do that, and that's, and I know that's not easy, we know this, but you have to work out what your life meaning is, or just figure out what you enjoy doing and why that's important. Coaching, right? Say again.
That requires coaching.
Well,
that's essentially what coaching is.
It is, yeah. And this is the other part. The second part for me is companies, organizations, and people, what you need to do is develop yourself, personal growth, embrace growth. And that means you might have to find a coach, or businesses must invest in coaching and supporting. And leaders now, modern leadership is about coaching. It's about creating people who want to grow and acquire knowledge and expand their thoughts and their awareness, because then growth is more about happiness than anything else. If we feel like we're progressing every day, we feel fulfilled. And then the third thing I would say is technology. We talked about that at the very beginning. People are overwhelmed with technology, right? And they misuse it. Email is brilliant if used well. It's a catastrophic disaster if used badly. And it's used badly everywhere. It's things like, you know, we use WhatsApp, don't we? And I use Slack and stuff like that. But I won't have those on my laptop because I just know it will distract me from doing meaningful work, because it'll go off every 5 seconds and I can't be distracted, because I don't like to be distracted, because I know it's the devil that will creep into your success, right? Right. So using technology well and embracing things like AI, right, and these apps, but understanding how they can support your work, not destroy your work. So I think that's important. I think the coaching and embracing growth and personal development, taking ownership for your personal development is really important. And I think connecting yourself, your purpose with your work purpose, and creating authentic relationships at work because of that is really important.
Okay, so we've got five really good points we can leave people with.
Yeah.
The first one is find your purpose.
Yeah.
Understand your why and connect it to your work.
Yeah.
Second one is get a coach to help you and to keep you accountable.
That's it.
The third one is limit distractions.
Mm.
Productivity is not answering emails. So
no.
Limit distractions.
That's right.
The fourth one is, what did we say the fourth one was? Use technology effectively.
Use it effectively, yeah.
Use it to support you. And the fifth one, the most important, I think, is nurture relationships.
Yeah.
Find out about your colleagues and the people around you.
Yeah.
And talk to them about how you can help each other. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
And guess what? This is a big thing, right? I find it really frustrating when people go, yeah, I don't like working with Jay. You know, they're very, they're not on the same wavelength as me. Fine. There are some relationships at work where you get on with someone really well, and that's a lot easier. There are some relationships where you may not agree with them, but they're, so helpful. Right. Mm. That person may have the skills and knowledge that you haven't got. Stop putting barriers up because you can't regulate your emotions. It's like some relationships, you can have a laugh with those people and you can enjoy their company. And other relationships, it's kind of transactional, but it can still be helpful. Understand the different types of relationships, right? And make them work effectively for all parties. So you create win-wins, and the win is the outcomes you're creating.
Loving it. Loving it. All right. Very good. We're 25 there. 25 minutes. But that's all good.
That was quick, wasn't it?